Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in it on a wonderful Thursday. Tomorrow, Red Friday, as we gear up. You have to wait all day for Sunday night. That's what Carrie Underwood tells you.
Got a text from my mother yesterday. This sucks that the game's on at night because you can't get your sleep. I said, yes, exactly. I agree.
She gets it.
She does get it. Every game should be noon.
Because, well, that game starts at 8:20
there. 8:20
their
time. Yeah, 7:20 here. Yeah, late game, late night.
They'll still have been watching, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
They're old. They
Damn.
May fall asleep sitting there.
Damn.
Marlene, wake up. Chiefs won.
Chiefs Giants 7:20 Sunday Night Football. Obviously, you can get Josh Briscoe's pregame show on here before that game starts, going right into the Chiefs Radio Network with Josh Klingler and Danon Hughes, Mitch Holtis and crew there. And then our Royals insider, Josh Vernier.
A lot of Josh's.
Yeah, three. That's significant. Our show, we're the only ones with the names here. There's no other Mac, Bob, or Dusty. So Fesco and Dusty with you here on 96.5 The Fan. Yesterday, the New Heights podcast was released. I was interested because I would say, related to this show, the two biggest topics would be Travis Kelce. He's been kind of like a highlight in the wrong way for the first 2 weeks for the Chiefs. He's had the hit to Worthy, then the drop pass that led to an interception, which a lot of people have seen that throughout. And then there's the tush push. And then there's, Philly's side of it. Well, the defense jumped too. And then there's also the Chiefs side of it where we're tired of this. And then the NFL saw it because 33.8 million people watched that game.
Right. Did you see what the Monday night number was, by the way? 33.8 million watched the Chiefs game. Mm-hmm. The two Monday night games averaged 13.5 million people. I mean, 20 million
bad.
People. That is really bad. I was sticker shocked.
Like 18, and that would be pretty bad.
Yeah, no, I was sticker shocked. It's Monday night football, right? Like it's, and it was on ABC as well, so it wasn't like it was just an ESPN game or anything like that. Nobody's watching that compared to Sunday afternoon. Jeez. That's crazy.
I bet Sunday night pulls 25 or more.
Probably, yeah.
New York market
and Kansas City. Yeah.
It's also New York's home opener.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. Yeah, the Giants have been on the road for the first 2 weeks of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's gonna draw some viewership from the New York side. Plus, you're going to have everybody in Kansas City who's going to red zone it, and then Sunday Night Football. But anyways, so they talk on the podcast on New Heights about the tush push, and this was what Jason Kelce had to say.
I get that there's like a hair of a second early on some of these. Some of them are legitimate false starts. Some of them I feel like fall well within the parameters of any other short yardage play. And this is the other thing. The false start thing, that thing is going to happen whether it's a tush push or a regular quarterback sneak. Guards are going to be trying to time out the snap. Good guards on short yardage runs are going to be trying to time out the snap. Like that's how, if you're late, you're going to be screwed. So it's not like they're trying to false start.
Okay, I'm going to be a dad here for a second. Can I put my dad cap on here now for a second? Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it right, right? And for Jason Kelce to use the, well, everybody else is offsides, everybody else starts plays early, that's not a justification for this tush push. We have now seen the tush push in action. They neutralized Juwan Taylor. They have neutralized Juwan Taylor's game by calling that penalty. Say what you want about it. Juwan Taylor is not that same player since they started calling that penalty. We all know that, okay? So they've called that penalty on Juwan Taylor. you've got to start calling this penalty on the tush push. Now that we have seen the video evidence, if I'm a referee going forward, I'm throwing that flag on every play. Every time they do that play, I am throwing the flag and saying, I can't officiate it properly. It looks like you guys are moving. But for Jason Kelce to roll out the, well, everybody else is offsides too type of stuff, that's a lame, weak-ass excuse by Jason Kelce right there.
I think the way they did it in the Chargers game against the Raiders that only 16 million people watched,
yeah,
I think what you see there is what you'll see on Sunday, especially because there's a really big Philly and Rams game on Sunday. Like, that's going to be a very high viewership game, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I believe. It's a rematch of the divisional series. Both teams are 2-0. Both teams are good. And we're going to find out who has the better defense, because the Rams defense is good, so is Philadelphia's. But I think what you're going to see is, at least in my personal opinion, is what that referee did in that Chargers game. If you didn't see the video, the Chargers are on like the 2-yard line and they line up in tush push formation. And the referee, like how they do in where they wait for the team to get substitutions and they stand over the ball. I think you will see that. I think you will see a referee stand there and make sure that the ball is in front of the center and that everybody's helmet is behind the line of scrimmage. And once they do that, then they will allow the play to begin. And if they move, then they will throw the flag. If they don't move and now they have this, then they will do it. I think that is, to me, like the best of both worlds, because throwing a flag on every time they play, it's just going to be like, all right, you're making the game longer. You're just being like, I don't know, like
you're being a Richard.
Yeah, you're. I'm trying to think of the word that's coming to my mind, but I'll figure
childish.
It out. Right. What? Yeah. One word at 7:30. But like the thing is I think that's what you will see, because that's the best way to do it. You know, you say put your dad cap on. That's what the referee does. Put your referee cap on. Mm-hmm. Get in there. Make sure they're on, because that way, if you don't, then what? The guy's going to be on the sideline, crouched down, going,
yeah, but how do you prevent him from going early? Because that was the conversation that we had on Monday, was that the two guards were firing out before the ball was snapped. So you can stand over it and make sure they're lined up properly, but as soon as you move out of there, the guards are going to go regardless of whether or not that's the issue right there. It's not about, you know, the snap or anything for me. It's about, I watched those two guards seemingly an hour early fire out of their stances in front of everybody there. That's the issue that I have with the tush push. You can line it up all you want, and I don't hate that idea at all, but how do you prevent the guards from both of them firing out early? And it wasn't just one isolated play. It was all of the tush pushes that they did in that game.
Yeah, I mean, but then the way they couldn't see is because they were lined up above the line. So they didn't know if they were moving. They did, essentially is what they say. They didn't know they were moving early because they can't see the ball being snapped.
Yeah.
So now if you can see the ball, you can clearly tell if that thing has moved and they're moving. Whereas before, the center's over the ball and they're moving, but they're not seeing the ball snap. So they're thinking the ball's already snapped. That's why they don't know if they're moving early.
Yeah, but that's offsides. Like,
that's why they have to have the guy there to be like, yes, 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 yes. Because if what do wide receivers do every play unless you're Kadarius Toney?
Yeah.
You look over the side, you get it, you get the thumbs up, you'll watch every game. Watch a wide receiver line up on the outside. Doesn't matter who it is. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, everybody will do it. They'll look over, check. Okay, why can't the referee do that when they line up for the tush push? Because honestly, I don't want to see this get out of hand. I don't want to see this get to every play. It's like, bzz, whistle, bzz, whistle. And it's like, oh my gosh, dude, here we go again. But if they do that, then pessimistically, got it. Then
there it is.
They'll stop running. They'll just be like, all right, we got it. You just don't want to. It's like, I don't know. Who knows? But it's a mess. It was on 33.8 million people's eyeballs. And we'll see what happens next, because it is kind of a problem in the NFL.
Yeah, and Bovada.
And what's with the NFL? Sorry. But that's what the NFL hates. They hate when distractions like this take away from what their product is, because here we have the Chiefs at 0-2. Everybody loves to talk about that nationally.
Mm-hmm.
We have a game this weekend with the returning champs and the Rams playing each other 2-0, 2-0. We want to talk about that. But what's clouding all of that is people's opinions of a play that is so minute that works for one team, but everybody else is not affected by it. And it was tried to be voted out, and now all of a sudden it happens on a grand stage, and now everybody has seen it. So now it's, you know, house divided, but it's Philadelphia 31 teams.
But that's sometimes what it takes to get a rule changed in professional sports, right? Whether it's the offensive pass interference challenge and all that kind of stuff, and then the referees
and that's what he says, you could just make it challengeable.
You absolutely could, and watch it in slow motion. But again, you want to talk about slowing down the game.
Correct.
Replays slow down the game more than anything in the NFL. And I don't know why it takes the NFL so long with replays, man. I mean, I do know why, because you're getting commercial breaks. Because there was a replay review that was done on Sunday that they were done with. They announced to the crowd, and we saw like a minute 15 seconds until until play resumed. And so you're waiting all that time for the replays. I'd like to take the replay out of it. I think
gotta figure out how to make money off this.
Yeah, but I mean, but yeah. if you're gonna challenge those plays, it's going to really, 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 really slow down the pace. But you can't do that this season. Like, you can't change it this season and all of a sudden say now this is a challengeable play or whatnot. That's why I think the only way to rectify it right now today and to make sure it doesn't happen going forward is for the referees to start enforcing it. It's like when you see a speed trap set up. Obviously, people have been speeding there. There's been incidents there. We've got to curb this thing. We've got to get people to slow down coming down this hill as they enter this residential neighborhood or whatever it is. And the only way to do that, the only way to get people's attention is to set up the speed trap. It sucks. We don't like it. But hey, we're tired of letting you guys speed through here. There's been accidents and whatnot. We've got to fix this thing. And the only way to fix this thing this year without, you know, obviously the rules committee changing it now because we're in the middle of the season is for the referees to start enforcing offsides and false starts on that play. And that will deter the Eagles from running it because if they can't line up offsides and they can't false start, that play just doesn't work.
Yeah, I think it's a short-term solution. I think it's targeting a play and even like a team at some level, which I don't love. Like, change the rule then. Go wait till the offseason. Yeah. You messed up. The Eagles get to do this now, and then you need to rectify this. You need to change this and make this better. I think it's weird that we're acting as Jason Kelce is like a non-biased reporter.
Yeah, right. Now. Yeah, like he's so weird. He's so full of it. Yeah,
like come on, dude. Like I love you. You're great on TV. You're entertaining, but let's not act like you don't have got some skin in this game, brother.
Of course, come on. I mean, he's defending his family.
Yes,
you know,
you executed this play. Yeah, I respect.
I respect it, but he's wrong.
But let's 10 times down.
But like people on Twitter acting like he's like giving some non-biased reporting. Like,
oh yeah, no,
no, no. no. He's coming at this from a bias.
He created it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You're talking about the creator of the tush push here. Of course, he's going to defend the thing, you
but
know?
My brother,
you
know, had
cigarettes really aren't that bad,
says Philip Morris. Yeah.
They choose to smoke them.
Something that wouldn't get rid of the play necessarily, but a rule change that my brother came up with was once you see the ball carrier's feet off the ground, the play's over. Because that's what Jalen Hurts does. He jumps and then he gets carried for 3 yards.
Yeah.
He doesn't push anything. Very rarely you see him pushing a pile forward. He's
but then you're
carried.
Asking referees to judge exactly. I mean, that's a hard
it
judgment
wouldn't be perfect.
Call.
It yeah. wouldn't be perfect, but I see your feet off the ground.
Done right there.
Yeah.
And then, well, his feet came off and then you're analyzing, oh, yeah. You know, you're breaking down the, so that's why I think the only way to enforce it now is just call a penalty on every play. And then they'll stop doing it. And then we won't have to worry about whether or not it's a legal play. The Eagles will just abandon it because they know every time they line up to do it, they're getting penalized. And they're not getting penalized because they're running the play. They're getting penalized because they're committing a penalty. Like, that's the thing people seemingly don't understand here. We're not calling a penalty just to stop a play. We're actually calling a penalty because they're doing something wrong. They're doing something illegal before the play.
What was it like? It works 92% of the time?
96.
96. Is it that? I thought it was 100%. I've never seen the play not work.
I saw a tweet that was like, tush push is illegal 96% of the time or whatever. I was like, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
I wonder if you could bet on penalties. Like, you could bet. I mean, that'd be great. Like, how over under like 0.5 false starts on Philadelphia this Sunday against the Rams? I'd hammer that over.
Hammer that over. Hell yeah, I would. Yeah.
Make a lot of money off the Chiefs in 74 the last 2 years doing that.
Yeah.
I think we were talking earlier about this, the game tonight, Buffalo and Miami. It's 12.5 Buffalo. I don't want the I kind of want the spread for Buffalo. I kind of want to do it because
it's minus 12. Yeah.
You know,
I would do it that way.
Yeah. And I want to bet over a half of interception for Tua Tagovailoa.
I like it.
And normally I don't do that, but I mean, that's, to me, that's like kind of the same thing as like betting on a flag. But I mean, I know that's the player throwing it, not depending on the referee, but that would be interesting. Anyways, so Bleacher Report possible trade targets have three linked to the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's fun to look at some of these. Like now, are any of these things that are going to happen? I don't know, probably not. But there are three players. They came up with their big board of like entering week three. Here are the best available players.
And Daniel Jones. He's done better than Mahomes.
Yeah, that's right. That's the Spector said that actually. They came out with like 10 different players that they think should be on the move at this point in time, right? And I think right now, as we start to look at some of these names, like if the Chiefs are going to make a move, for me anyway, it has to be for a running back. They had a wide receiver, a running back, and a tight end all linked to the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, you know the wide receiver's Tyreek Hill. The tight end is David Njoku, and Jerome Ford is the running back. that they have linked to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Incredible.
But inside the 20, we're good, dude.
Yeah, but you've already invested in your tight ends, man. You've got Travis Kelce in his final year. You paid Noah Gray, and you drafted Wiley in the top four rounds. Like, you've invested heavily in that tight end position right now. And going into next year, you're probably going to need a new one. I'd rather have a younger tight end. I think Njoku's only like 26, 27 years old, and he's not exactly old, but the acquisition costs, you know, and whatnot, when you can just draft somebody potentially next year, that's kind of the route that I would take on that one. But I think if the Chiefs are going to make a move, the only position where they really truly need glaring help right now on offense, because you get the wide receivers back, Travis Kelce will eventually become the guy we expect. He's not going to drop every pass and take out receivers in every game. The only position that I would trade for if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs right now is a running back, because I do believe that is a weakness right now on this team from what we've been seeing so far in the first 2 weeks of the season. I wouldn't waste time with wide receivers, and I wouldn't waste time trading for a tight end, but I would be scouring the market to find out what kind of running back is potentially out there and what that would cost to bring a guy in that can run the football and give you some opportunities, if you will, to take some pressure off of Patrick Mahomes and the passing game. So of those three positions, where do you guys kind of fall on that? Are you running back, wide receiver, tight end? Are you running back only? Do you think they should go get a wide receiver? Because I just think right now with the wide receivers getting healthy, there's no need to go out and get another one. But there is need for a running back on this
team. What about a left guard?
I don't hate that, but you got Jalen Moore on this team. You've invested.
You've got a right tackle that's on, you know, a leash that's shorter than a snack size airhead.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that thing is.
Yeah. You know,
and if he, I mean, he had one good game. One.
Yeah.
And if you're going to move Jalen Moore there, do you trust Sua Mataia? Because running backs are going to cost you. You know, you're going to have to probably give up a third if you want Jerome Ford, I would assume.
Really?
You think a third or a fourth, right?
I think you could get him for a fifth. I mean, shoot, he hasn't done much.
Right, and Judkins is going to start this week. Is that right, Fantasy
Yeah,
Mac?
They've got Judkins and Dylan Sampson. He's not playing.
Njoku's sexy for me because he's massive target that's super athletic that just it's there in Cleveland, but it's not because they don't have quarterbacks. And I guarantee you if he leaves Cleveland, Joe Flacco will be like, dude, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Running back is the obvious need.
I think Joe Flacco's asked that numerous times in Cleveland already.
At that point, he just gives Shador his helmet. It's like, go ahead.
At that point in time, he just goes, all right, I've seen this. I'm out, man. I'm 40. I don't need this crap anymore. You know? Right.
So, I mean, obviously, I think we'd all agree that it would be the running back. But if I had to give a different opinion, I would say why not fish in the left guard or an offensive lineman pool?
Yeah.
And then also is like, is there somebody that maybe we're not thinking about, maybe on defensive side of things?
Good
like
point.
Like a defensive tackle that can like actually penetrate and create pressure? Because I don't know if you've looked at stats. It ain't Chuck Minihue, man. He ain't doing
now. Oh, no, it's rough.
It bad.
I totally forgot he's on the team.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
No, I know. It's a really bad thing. Like,
terrible.
Like he wasn't mentioned at all on Sunday. And, I don't remember hearing his name at all.
He's a zero right now.
And
Karloftis ain't much better right now.
It's tough, man, because, I mean, what's worse? Let me ask you that.
Run
game or your defensive pressure on the front four?
Your run game now. Okay. Yeah, because I think the defense is still pretty solid. They were good on Sunday. They really were. They were really good on Sunday.
They couldn't pressure.
They were good because of blitzy 19 plays.
Yeah. Yeah. But they figured out a way and they got it
totally
done.
Fine.
I need a running back.
I agree.
I think if you're ranking the areas of what
necessity.
Needs to not necessity per se as to like what would help this team the most. I think somebody different in the backfield would probably help this team the most. Maybe this is the week, though, that, you know, Isaiah Pacheco, he's going back home to Jersey. Maybe he wants to run in front of the home crowd. Maybe he plays better. I don't know. But I am very concerned about Isaiah Pacheco. I am very concerned that he is not confident and he is not ready to go up the middle.
What's your general manager always, like, in your brain? Like, what is it, like, week four, they know that the season's there or not? Because teams aren't going to sell, because if they sell, they obviously are telling people
well,
they're done. Because we did this last year.
Yeah, you don't trade early because you're waving the white flag. You still need to sell tickets.
And that's what I'm wondering about the Jets and the Saints. right? Because the name that we see all the time from like the wish list, like, what do you want for Christmas, Mac? I want Breece Hall. Well, that's really expensive. Mom's going to have to pick up a second job. But if you wait until the day before Christmas, when everybody now has one and the demand is lower, that's where I think you wait. But like, how quickly do you need this running game? Kamara's another name.
And I will jump in and I will say this. The Saints and the Jets, I think, are probably in different categories. Really, anybody who hired who has a new head coach this year is in a different category. Those players ain't theirs. There's no loyalty to those players. And if you're Aaron Glenn and what's the guy's name, Muji, who's the Jets GM or something like that, Daryl Muji, former Bronco guy, I think that's the guy's name.
No idea.
Honest to God, I think his name is Muji.
Muji.
Yeah, Muji.
It's pronounced Mariucci.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, remember that time I had a steak with Andy Reid? Do you have any other Andy Reid stories, man? Or is that the only one where you had a steak in your tighty whiteys with Andy Reid?
That's pretty cool.
At a hotel but that's it. You coach with that guy and work with that guy for years, and you have one story.
I know that I'm hard.
I'm Steve Mariucci. Let me tell you about the steak. We've heard this one, Steve.
Good steak.
So you're not loyal to any of these guys. And so I think you could maybe, you know, look at the teams that have new head coaches, look at what they're doing, and see, like, what can we give you for some of these guys? Because the best thing that the Jets could get right now and the Saints could get right now are draft picks. And to rebuild that roster. Like, there's no loyalty whatsoever for these guys to Alvin Kamara. There's no loyalty to Breece Hall. Those are actually good targets to have. Those guys would wave the white flag sooner and say, we got a new regime. We need draft picks. We need to flip this thing on its head and change things up a little bit. So I would go after some of those guys. But I think the majority of teams, I think the trade deadline's like November 11th this year, which is Veterans Day. So probably
that's your bye week.
Yeah, and probably the week before Halloween or so, I would imagine you probably will start seeing teams realize, you know, where they are at this point in time.
The Chiefs need to act quicker than that, in my opinion.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, but you have to have a dance partner.
Yeah, right. 100%.
Right. It's not about the Chiefs acting. It's about, do you want to trade somebody?
Gardner Minshew, Breece Hall, get it done.
Done, yeah. I would do that move.
I'm sure his kids that play Madden would say yes. Yeah, yeah. Gardner Minshew's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, he wears shorts.
You talk about investment. I mean, they've invested, you mentioned wide receiver. They've invested a lot in the offensive line. We didn't mention Mike Caliendo as a possible guy who could come in, too. I don't know how good he actually is, but last year they liked how well he played.
Yeah, so that's a good one. I keep forgetting about
him.
He's
on this roster, too. Like, running backs, there are no answers. Other than, I know the text lines mentioned Breshard Smith, and that's a rookie seventh-round running back.
He's unknown.
Yeah, like, how good is he actually going to be? Like, yes, he could help and maybe stand.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And be a good third down and short back and catch some passes, but he's not a bell cow.
Do we see more Breshard Smith or Jalen Royals on Sunday?
I would say Breshard Smith.
Okay.
Which we should see more Royals, but this team.
Well, I disagree with you on that. I think you need to see more Breshard Smith. Let's see what we got in this
kid. That's fair.
You know, if we're talking about
making.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. But we're talking about making moves out of positions.
Yes.
Let's see what this guy has. Maybe we don't. Maybe, we got something here, right? You don't know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.